Welcome to the Far From Shore podcast, where it's all about the Kraken and the community they play in. Welcome to another Far From Shore podcast, everyone. I have my co-host here with me.
Hi, everyone.
All right. Let's get started here. Something interesting you sent me while watching the LA game. You sent me an article from the Seattle Times about how Dave Haxtell's job is safe until the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
What was that about?
So it sounded like in the article, I didn't read the full thing, I just really skimmed it, to be honest, that the general manager, what's his name again? Ron Francis. So it sounded like Ron Francis pretty much said, oh, we'll reevaluate at the end of the season. That's how, you know, things go. We reevaluate at the end, not in between.
Yeah.
So pretty much what he said was, regardless of what's going to happen from here until, what is it, April 18th?
Yeah, April 18th is our last game.
Yeah. So from here tonight until April 18th, Ron Francis is going to essentially keep Haxtell in his coach position. I truly don't know if Ron Francis is the person that makes that decision, but he said that Haxtell doesn't have to worry, essentially. But
until the end of the season.
Until the end of the season, but then they'll reevaluate. So that does not secure his position for next year.
Yeah. I also skimmed it, and it said that Ron Francis was in California following mm-hmm. the team, watching the young guys play, see yeah. how they're developing.
Yeah. I mean, I also read in that article that Francis is really wanting to focus on the young players and try to bring new players into our team, even in these, like, last moments, I suppose, which now, unfortunately, spoiler alert, we did not win tonight, so that means that we will not be moving on to the playoffs at all. So now this is the time that we could really put Winterton, Morrison, and Wright in the forefront more. So that gives the opportunity for Francis to watch these guys and see, you know, if he wants them in for the full season next year.
Yeah.
Or next season.
And then maybe some coaching changes.
Totally.
Yeah, I hope so.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't mind Haxtell, but I know that you don't like the offensive.
I don't really like the offensive coordinator, but that's for another time. We could talk about that yeah, later.
Yeah, it was an interesting article.
Yeah, so let's talk coffee, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so the Starbucks Coffee Company, you know, holds a special place in our heart.
And it is a sponsor of the Seattle Krakens.
Exactly. So you and I used to work at Starbucks together.
We did.
That's kind of how we met.
It's literally how we met.
Yeah. So how did we meet?
Well,
I was okay. So I was working there before you worked there.
You were working the night shift.
Yeah.
Or evening shift, I suppose. And I started working. My dad is in the military, so when we had moved back to Hawaii, which is where we're from, where we met, I wanted to get a job right out of high school, got a job at Starbucks, which was something that I had been wanting since I pretty much had turned 16. Finally got that position, you know, just a Starbucks position in general, and saw this really cute guy at Starbucks.
Yeah.
As he laughs now. And we were working opposite shifts, so like as I would get off at like, I don't know what, 2 or something like that, yeah. you would be coming in. And so then because I didn't have a car, I would wait and you and I would talk while you were making coffee.
Yeah.
For our customers.
I was just wait. Remember that one time where you're reading some book about being a mother or something?
I probably was reading something for class.
Yeah, and I was like, you'd make a good mother. did I say that?
You probably did.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about
yeah.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
And then so yeah, we started working together, and then you made the first move.
I sure did.
You put on one of those hot drink Starbucks sleeves and put your number in it. Yeah.
And then I put it in your pocket as I was leaving the shift that day.
Ooh. So that's kind of how we met, and the rest is history. We're making a podcast together.
We sure are.
And we
almost 10 years later.
Yeah, almost 10 years later. And you were 19? Just turned 19.
I had turned 18 when I was 18 when we met. So, yeah.
And I was 21.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. That's right. And we have two dogs now. One dog's locked up right now because he makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've moved around together and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Why are we talking about Starbucks coffee?
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning of you mentioning Starbucks, Starbucks is a sponsor of Seattle Krakens.
Yep. Starbucks serves as the community impact partner of the Seattle Kraken and is a local company to Washington.
Yes.
Yeah.
From 1971.
1971. Exactly. So I searched what the community impact partner is, which is what the Seattle Kraken, title is, or not the Seattle Kraken, the Starbucks title is to the Seattle Kraken. It's the partnership focuses on addressing the related critical needs of access to resource and opportunities for you people while strengthening the community and advancing inclusion and equity in Seattle. That was a really, really long sentence.
Yeah, but it sounds very Starbucks from what you and I both experienced. It is
like a whole lot of like
Starbucks
at PC its core. Jargon.
Well, I mean, sure, but it is Starbucks at its core.
Yeah, which I have no idea why they are trying to do that, because there's this foundation called the One Roof Foundation who already does that for them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
we can talk about that another day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day.
I mean, it's better to have more partners than no partners.
Yeah. So, when we were in Starbucks, what kind of resources did they have for young kids, if you remember? I know that Starbucks does offer like scholarships through Arizona State University online, which we both have done.
Yeah, you and I both utilize that for quite a bit of our time.
There's like the Cup Fund, which is like when Starbucks partners don't have enough money to pay for something or there's an emergency that happens.
Yeah, I remember somebody that when we lived in Hawaii, they had a house burned down and the Cup Fund helped them. And I heard a couple of other, because, we understand the economy right now.
Yeah.
And things have increased. And somebody had told me when I was working at my last store that some college students were getting kicked out of their apartments locally. And the Cup Fund was helping students ensure that they weren't going to get kicked out, which is, a big deal. Obviously, housing is incredibly important. But I also think that besides the scholarship, I think that Starbucks is also really, they really key in on hiring people of multiple backgrounds. I mean, I myself have had people from all walks of life in my store.
There's some characters that we work with.
I mean, yeah, I loved everybody that I worked with. Like I said, had a very wide range of variety of backgrounds. But I also remember, and you're going to have to help me remember this, but when we lived in Seattle, there was a store that was built and it became like a community training center, and they allowed people to come to this area. It was in like White Center, I want to say.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think it was like just as we were leaving Seattle, they were building this institution. And I actually followed somebody that worked at the Seattle SSE. So the Starbucks Support Center is what it's called.
Yeah, but corporate.
Yeah, the corporate, which is where, like, if anybody that's in Seattle, they see the big siren, like, constantly watching you. We always say, the siren's always watching you.
It's like that, like, those paintings in museums, when you walk past by them, they're, like, staring at you. That's what it looks like.
But anyways, this person that I knew was working as an artist at the SSC, and he was talking about this White Center Starbucks location, and people come to this as, like I said, a training facility.
Yeah.
So they really try to hone in on communities that need assistance.
Yeah. So they're basically like bringing in whatever they have already been doing, and mm-hmm. then just like telling the Seattle Kraken, this is what we do. Are you on board then? And can we put our name on your practice jerseys?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they're just trying. I mean, they as a local community want to like join efforts with the Seattle Kraken. Yeah. And I think that is just kind of like Seattle values in general.
Yeah.
I think that Seattle as a whole has very diverse backgrounds.
Oh, 100%.
You and I both.
It's not like Colorado that. Where it's like a monoculture of people.
I mean, there is a little bit of culture here, but yeah. not, but there is a little bit wider variety in Seattle.
Yeah, very wide. So
just from personal experience.
Yeah, Starbucks. So Starbucks has a long history in Seattle, mm-hmm. like you said. You all should know about the Pike Place Starbucks. That's where like the first Starbucks was created.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's the first Starbucks
store.
That is
the first Starbucks, yes.
And it's a horrible place to get coffee if you're like trying to work downtown. There's a lot of traffic.
Well, it's 100% a tourist spot now. Yeah,
it's definitely a destination.
I you know, grew up in Washington for the later childhood, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we lived in Seattle together for quite a while, and I think I've only ever gone to Pike's Place Starbucks once.
We went there together.
I've only gone inside once, though.
Yeah. I think I, like, went, like, right past the door and looked inside. And I was like, oh. Because I was already working. I was still working at Starbucks. I was like, it's just another Starbucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the one place that I do think is super awesome is the Roastery, which is just up that hill.
Exactly. The Roastery is very nice.
Oh, it's super awesome.
And that's where they roast most of their reserve coffee beans.
Yes.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire like mostly managers.
Yeah, which is interesting because, that's just interesting to me. When they first started, they definitely hired a lot of managers because they wanted people with experience. Oh, that's Clover. Sorry, guys. Clover's excited.
Clover's attacking her little tiger. Clover. Okay. I guess you guys are going to have to deal with that for right now. Okay, maybe not. What? Nah, I don't think we should. I want to cut it, but I don't want to cut it at the same time because it's so cute.
You guys are living our lives.
Well, because usually Rambo is the one that's playing with the tiger, and then Clover can't play with it because Rambo's so aggressive with it.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So
the coffee company.
Oh, speaking of the Roastery.
Yeah.
I mean, for our listeners to hear in, that's where you proposed.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say next. So we're both still working at the Starbucks coffee company as, you know, minions to them. And then you actually had a dream about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like we're talking about, you know, getting engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then you woke up one day and you're like, oh, I had a dream about you proposing to me inside.
Yeah, I had a dream that you had proposed to me inside, like you said. But if anybody has never been into the Roastery, which, again, if you're in the Seattle area, you totally should. But there's this, like, clucker board that I've never been to New York, but I imagine it, like, the Times Square, like, what the next train is. So it's this clucker board that kind of, like, always is constantly moving. It's like a
Union Station or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah. But
never been there.
This clacker board constantly moves, and it'll essentially, like in the Seattle Roastery, will say now brewing, and it'll have the different coffee names because it'll be like three or four different coffee.
It's whatever they're roasting at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like three or four of them. But on this clacker board, I had a dream that you proposed to me with that clacker board.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not happen. You did not propose to me inside. You proposed to me outside. But I do distinctly remember that. So as you're walking up the hill to the Roastery, it has Starbucks's missions and values.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my gosh, I like don't want to remember it. But it's like the Pledge of Allegiance,
yeah.
You know, in my head. And then you proposed to me at the spot that says... Do you remember?
I don't remember what it says. I was so nervous. I was shaking. I was trembling like a leaf.
Yeah, you were. I think it was the part where it says, like, with love.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I meant to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the company was founded in 1971 and is currently the largest chain coffee in the world. But they had an original name before Starbucks.
Really?
Do you remember?
No.
Because we were both coffee masters.
Mm-hmm.
And for any of you who don't know, Coffee Master program is a program provided to the partners to be able to get a black apron.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly did it just so good to have a black apron.
I mean, yeah, it definitely looked cool, but you learned about what type of roast there are. So, like, I won't get too into the details.
Yeah, get into it.
Oh, okay. So there's, like, light, medium, dark roast. So they're talking about, like, how hot the temperature is of the roasting, where specifically the beans are coming from. So there's that
there's like that, coffee, like, belts.
Yeah, the coffee belt. And so in the Coffee Master training, you discuss where the coffees are being brewed, like harvested. There you go, that's the word. And that's where, like, the reserves in general were very niche, because they were collecting one locate, like, single origin.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than some of the Starbucks's other coffees are blends, which are also fantastic. I still love drinking Starbucks coffee. And then different things like their acidity levels, and then being able to drink it, like, taste it. So for our, like, listeners that are vintners and drink wine, it's a very similar process where you, like, feel the mouth feel.
Yeah, they as get you're into drinking coffee. Like, crazy stuff like washed.
Yeah.
Like washed, semi-washed, sun-dried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, those processes, which beans work the best with each wash.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, like I said, similar to wine, like, what kind of coffees are going to balance well with different types of snacks, and, you know, like, what you would put into the coffee itself for balancing the flavors or even accentuating flavors. But you left the company, what, just a little after COVID?
Yeah,
and I stayed until 2023. So I think just before you left, maybe just after, I can't exactly remember, they actually put a pause on the Coffee Masters program, probably for, you know, finances.
They, like, may not even be doing it anymore.
No, they did. That's what I was about to say, is that they restarted it right before I left. Is that the new CEO? He restarted that. And I also think that's because, you know, just like other companies and programs around the country, the world,
yeah,
they had to put pauses on things that were unessential, and Coffee Masters was not essential at the time. So they paused it. But like I said, right as I was leaving in 2023, they had restarted it. And I knew a lot of people that I worked with that were, like, super excited, because I had always had my black apron and, sorry, not sorry, refused to take my black apron off. Even during the holidays, I had managers that were like, oh, everybody has to wear a red apron. And I said, no, I have a black apron because I earned my black apron. I will continue to wear my black apron. So,
yeah. So, and then to get certified to be a coffee master, there is a book that they give you, mm-hmm, with all the information.
Mm-hmm.
They have you go through this huge, like, huge thing. Like, you get a booklet of all the coffee that Starbucks offers, and you have to taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to have somebody, like, you have to actually do a tasting with your people, the people that you work with.
Yeah. And then there was supposed to be a project too. I know you did a project and then I did a different project,
yeah,
obviously. But
yeah, the project that I did for my coffee master at the very end, that you had to, like, present in front of your store manager as well as your district manager. And I think a couple other store managers as well, which is really nerve-wracking for a 21-year-old to be, like, doing that for the first time. But it was just coffee. So I did mine on the Sumatra.
Oh, yeah. And the oat cake, which is only served in Hawaii.
Oh, my God. Like, how did you remember that? I don't even remember that.
Oh, I remember. Don't worry.
Yeah. So it was like, so I did Sumatra because Sumatra is a dark roast. And I liked dark roast at the time, but I've since now changed to the very lightest roast possible.
Oh, yeah. That's true, actually. Yeah, you have switched it. I know I did mine on the Guatemala, and I think it was the... Oh, goodness. It was a very niche... Antigua? No, it wasn't the Antigua.
Waytanago?
No, it wasn't the Waytanago. It was a different one. It was a very... I don't think I've seen it roasted ever since then.
Was it a reserve coffee?
It was a reserve coffee, for sure. But it was special to me. It had honey notes, and then I served it with those, like, cool little, like, honey stroopwafels.
Oh, yeah.
And I served it with that. And then, like, for my project, I created an Instagram for our for our store, and then brought up, like, every week did a different reserve coffee feature. And yeah, like I said, I haven't seen that coffee in quite some time. But it was fantastic.
I don't even go to Starbucks anymore. It's all about Dutch Bros for me. Dutch Bros is, I don't know, because after just working at Starbucks, it's just like I'm kind of burnt out on like the taste of it. Like,
I think that I would Starbucks go back, has like, but
a certain taste to it.
It does, but I think that working at Starbucks, I got my coffee for free every single shift that I worked, and then during COVID, we could get free coffees as well, which was a awesome perk of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I went from drinking like 4-shot, you know, short lattes, which was an $8 drink, is an $8 drink. I can't afford an $8 drink every single morning. Like, I can just make my own black coffee at home for way cheaper.
Yeah, you increased like what you like. Because like, my next question is, what is like what's your go-to order at Starbucks?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, not in the holidays, I would typically get ready for this, guys, a quad shot short ristretto, cinnamon dolce latte with oat milk, no whip. Don't forget the cinnamon dolce sprinkles, because people always forget that for some reason. And then in the holidays, I always get same build. So like quad short ristretto, oat milk.
But with a different flavor.
Chestnut praline latte.
Chestnut praline.
Ooh, yummy.
Yeah. Like, growing up for me, I was a caramel frappuccino guy.
Yeah. You and I both had like a phase where we were really into white mocha.
Yeah. I think
which I do like white mocha still, but
white mocha is delicious.
I only like iced white mochas, though, to be honest.
But you're just average guy now, drinking just nitro cold brew. If I were to ever go there, it's just anything cold brew black. So yeah. Like iced cold brew. Well, you can only get cold brew iced.
Yeah.
And then a nitro cold brew, which is no ice.
I've definitely had customers ask me for steamed cold brew, which is weird.
That sounds... It's like a...
It's like just getting hot coffee.
No, it's not like hot coffee. It's like that mold wine.
Oh, yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever, though. So, something cool about Starbucks is they have a siren as their logo. So it fits into the whole Washington vibe of just...
And fishermen. Fisherman
vibe. And fishermen, yeah. That fisherman vibe. Except for, like, maybe the Sounders the Sounders is a sound.
Like, oh, yeah, the Puget Sound.
Of water.
Yeah, the Puget Sound.
So, yeah, the Starbucks logo is a mythical creature, the siren, or what, you know, is commonly known as mermaid. And I looked into it, and a real siren is actually half woman, half bird.
Yeah, I saw you looking at that, and I was like, what?
That's so interesting. Yeah, it was weird. But this mythological creature is in every, like, all around the world they have.
Anywhere that there's an ocean, there's going to be a siren.
They have some sort of, like, thing about them. But for what's commonly known, the mermaids are known to lure sailors to their deaths by singing a melodic tone. The sailors would peek over the ship, or they would be grabbed.
Picture Pirates of the Caribbean, guys. Yeah,
exactly. What?
I think it was number four.
Number four.
The one with Penelope Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that one church guy. And the church guy that just falls in love with her. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The super church. The Christian guy. The Christian character. I don't know. But, and then her dad, like Penelope Cruz's dad was Blackbeard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, but that is essentially what a siren is. Like, mermaid is beautiful, and then she sings to the sailors, and then the sailors get lured, and then the sailors drown. Because these mermaids are actually the victim. They're the villains, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Starbucks in a nutshell, as well as Starbucks working with the Seattle Kraken. I've yet to see any positive things out of it, except for maybe like the Seattle, like corporate, the designers of the coffee bags doing designs for the Seattle Kraken warm-up jerseys.
I mean, we haven't worked in Seattle Starbucks since we got married, so a little bit of time.
In Seattle?
Yeah, in Seattle. Yeah. But I mean, I know that when you and I worked in Seattle, they constantly had Starbucks. I know this is like really not important, but they had Starbucks sleeves that would go on the coffee cup mm-hmm. for the Seahawks that would say 12 for the 12th.
The 12th man.
And they would have that on the sleeve. So I'm actually kind of curious. So if there's any listeners that are up in Seattle, I'm curious if there's been any representation in the stores of the Seattle Krakens, whether it be like a sleeve or a gift card or, you know, something along those lines. Because then that was the other thing, is that we were allowed to have, I mean, I think it was dependent on per manager and per district manager, but we were allowed to have our jerseys on Blue Fridays, which was, you know, a football thing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if people did that. Oh, as
Blue
well.
Fridays. Yeah.
You could do, you remember?
You could just definitely do a Kraken jersey. I almost guarantee it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm curious what the representation of the Seattle Krakens look like at Starbucks is in Seattle. And I mean, I do think that, I worked at Starbucks for almost 10 years. You worked at Starbucks for like 6-7 years.
And yeah.
We both learned a lot. We took a lot from the company. I do think that overall the company has done great things. And I do think that, obviously we wouldn't have stayed at the company as long as we did if it wasn't a good company. But I do think that
I'm curious. Golden handcuffs.
We did. But we won't get into that. But I do think that the connection that Starbucks has with the Seattle Krakens will kind of hold both of the two corporations accountable. So like you talked about in your Climate Pledge Arena episode, they are very e-friendly and like they recycle, and Starbucks also kind of has the same goals.
They are transitioning
to be more green.
Yeah,
so I think that the two together will kind of create that accountability.
Yeah,
and you get Starbucks coffee at the arena, so that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Did you see a Starbucks cafe in Climate Pledge?
Probably, but I wasn't looking for coffee. I was looking for,
I think next time beverages. When I go to Climate Pledge, I'm going to go see if they have a Starbucks.
They probably do. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't.
Yeah. So, anyway, guys, let's get into the game here. The Seattle Kraken played the Los Angeles. Let's see. Los Angeles, what? The Kings? Yes, they played the King. What was that? I don't know. They played the Los Angeles Kings last night, and we ended up losing 5-2. The starters for the game were Grunenet. Our first line was Maddie, Tolvanen, and Bjorkstrand with a defense of Dunn and Larson. Period one. What do you think about period one? It was very fast-paced.
It was incredibly fast. I definitely remember listening or watching it and obviously the periods are 20 minutes, but the periods with stops and, you know, are longer than 20 minutes. And so this was pretty spot on 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a very fast and clean period.
Yeah.
We had two power plays on each side, so 4 minutes cumulatively. But then after that, it was just very clean, and they went through the entire game just playing.
Yeah.
Very little stoppage.
Incredibly little.
Yeah, the Kings started off the scoring, though, with a goal on their power play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. LA's is definitely a better team.
Well, they said that LA is, what, the second best in the NHL for power play kills. But in the most recent power plays that they have played as a team, they've missed their opportunities. So this kind of broke their streak, for better, for worse for us, for better for them. But there were plenty of goals that I felt that Grubb caught quite well.
Yeah, Grubb was definitely like holding on tight.
Yeah,
I think for us, because they had really, it was just hard for us to maintain the puck. Because one thing worth mentioning is LA's neutral formation. They were talking about a 1-3-1 formation, and it's somewhat of a fortress because you have one guy at the top, and in the neutral zone you have three, and then you have one guy in the back. So when you try to move the puck past those three guys and you manage to actually get through, the guy all the way in the back will come bottleneck you, and that's what it was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so they outshot us. We had three shots in that period with LA 7, and Grew was the best player in that in that period for sure. And then in the second period, Seattle got their first power play of the period, and unfortunately led to nothing because the LA Kings are way better.
Well, I mean,
are just good at killing a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, even last season we noticed that we were better at 5-on-5 versus 5-on-4, and so the Seattle Kraken, I felt that this season overall the Seattle Krakens have done better at their power plays. So I think that that's something that they did better compared to last year, but they still have plenty of room for improvement for their power plays. I think
their power plays last year were better.
Really?
Yeah.
They said that we were literally like the worst in the NHL last year, or last season.
For power play kills or power play shots?
No, for like losing power plays. For missing opportunities.
Oh. I thought we were better. The best.
No, we were not the worst. Not the best,
but like up there.
No, we were pretty bad last year. That's where they were saying we were better at 5-on-5 than we were at 5-on-4.
Yeah. So the Kraken usually, historically this season, are really bad at period two, and they kind of just, you know, go with the flow there. Some bad seam passing, you know, which I'm fine with, but we need more shots on the net. But the second period, kind of lackluster for us. The Kings started off the scoring in period two as well. They scored two in a row.
Yeah. I know that one that really caught my eye was the goal where it hit Grubby in like the upper, like when you're looking at Grubb, it hit him in the upper left corner. And so he kind of like went to go grab it. Like
shoulder it.
Went to go shoulder it. And he just totally.
Upper left facing Grubb?
Yeah, facing Grubb, upper left. And then he.
So glove side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Is he a lefty?
I don't know. We'll get into that in another episode. We'll go into each of the players.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting because it's like sometimes you and I have noticed that Grubb can be like way off on his like saves, but this was close. It was, I felt a closer save than other saves. I do think that, unfortunately, don't get mad at me for saying this, as like if that was like a play that the Krakens had made, I would have been like, dang, that was a sick shot. But because obviously it was the Kings and they're the opponent, it was like, dang, it was an opportunistic goal that it just hit right off that guy's goal, like off that guy's stick, and just went blink right into the corner.
Yeah, like most things, everything's a game of inches.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, pretty much.
Game of freaking centimeters, honestly.
Yeah. If you want to get that route.
Honestly.
This is America.
I'm just saying, like, even smaller.
Yeah. So the second period ended up with us shooting a little bit more with seven shots on goal.
Yeah, there was definitely more push. And to be completely honest, like, I don't know what the guys were thinking going into this game, but this game meant yes or no they were going to continue into the playoffs. Thank you. And because they lost this game, they're completely out of the playoffs. Like, there's no opportunity for them to come back. And I don't know if that was in their heads going into this game, but
I didn't know that. I only found that out at the end of the game when John Forslund, is that John or was it Nick?
No, that was John that said it.
They're saying statistically and mathematically that we were out of contention for the playoffs and we'll leave the regular season.
Mm-hmm. But I do remember you telling me before this game that pretty much we had to win every single game from here on out.
Yeah.
And we also talked about this in our last episode too. We would have to win every game here on out, or from like last, not the LA Kings games, but the game before that. We'd have to win every game here on out. And then also the other teams that were above us would also have to continue to lose, which was like incredibly slim odds in general. But I don't know if maybe they felt that way. Maybe they were like, oh, it's just not going to happen. And like sports teams in general, when they feel that, like, I don't know, when they feel that
pressure.
No, it's like not even when they feel the pressure, but when they know that they're not going to continue on to the next move, you can like feel that.
Yeah.
On like specifically for hockey, like you can feel that on the ice, and like you can see that as a viewer, that they're just not there.
They're not giving it an effort anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It was so sad for me.
Yeah, which, you know, like I said, I didn't figure out that we were out of playoff contention or this game was a make or break for us until the end of the game. But period three was crazy.
Yeah, it was a lot more pressure.
Yeah, we ended up shooting. We made one goal out of that.
Yeah, that was, well, yeah, it was.
Burakovsky shot that. Well, it was a power play goal, actually, because it was a high stick on McCann that gave us the double minor.
Mm-hmm.
McCann ended up bleeding out of his mouth.
Yeah, I think he busted his lip. And for new watchers, for new viewers, that was a double minor because high stick is 2 minutes, and then it is a double because he had an injury. So from what I heard from
if
you start bleeding, that is what makes it a double minor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, then Dunn actually exited the game in that period too.
I didn't notice that.
He exited the game twice. So one shot. He took a shot to the hand.
Yeah, to the wrist. Yeah, I didn't notice
and
that.
And he left. And then he got hit in the head again.
It wasn't a head injury. It was another jaw, like you've mentioned before, where somebody kind of, and that started a scuffle with Larson. So Larson pretty much just like dropped gloves immediately and went for the guy that hit.
He was very slow to drop his gloves, actually.
I thought he was very,
but then he didn't start punching until the refs came in and started like trying to break it up.
I don't think it necessarily matters where it's like punching versus like pushing. Like, I don't care about that. He went to go protect his guy, and that's his defense like partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously knows that Dunn just came back from an injury. He's like literally game two from injury, and is just kind of like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah,
we've talked about this. I talked about this in the last episode of professional players being better about these things.
So at this point, when Burakovsky got the goal, we were 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dumoulin scored his goal. And then, I'm pretty proud of Dumoulin, actually. He had a rough transition in the beginning of the season when he came on, but now he's kind of warmed up to me. But I know you're indifferent about it.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah, but the LA Kings end up sealing the deal and kicking us out of playoff contention.
Yeah.
Beating Eberle on a 1-on-1 and scoring a goal and making it a 5-2 game. And we're out. We're out. Yeah, so now we get to just kind of see where that takes us.
Yeah, we have until April 18th for the next, 9 games?
Yeah.
So we can just...
Is it 9 games?
Yeah, 8 or 9.
So, less than 10. And the season's winding down. And for whatever we do in the next games, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see a little bit of like testing, maybe not even testing, we just play just regularly. Like, I don't know what
maybe the mentality switching up is. Lines. Yeah, maybe switching up lines, definitely putting the new players in. I know that you are excited for Shane Wright and like to speak on him. I know that also the general manager came to California and went on this road game with the guys to watch them. I wasn't super impressed by Shane Wright, to be completely honest. There was opportunities where he would get the puck, but then he would totally lose it.
Yeah, he's still young.
He's still young, and totally.
I'm not like putting like a pedestal on him for
sure
for whatever reason, but he actually, I think he's going to be a part of the organization next year.
Yeah.
He's coming out of the AHL.
Yeah.
He's leaving Coachella Valley and
coming to us.
Yeah.
Officially.
I think so.
I mean, well, Devin Shore also is another player that goes back and forth.
There's like almost the entire Coachella Valley.
Goes back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, Joey started that way.
Yeah, I understand so, that.
No, I know. I'm just saying that that's how we get a lot of our players. Joey Decord last season was in and out, especially in the last half of the season, last quarter of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then right before we went to playoffs, Joey was really holding us. And that's when I was like, you know, Joey, that's when he became one of my favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there's obviously the pipeline from Coachella to AHL Coachella Valley to NHL Seattle Krakens is a huge streamline. It's just interesting to see the players.
Yeah. So what's next for us? The Kraken declined to a 31-31-13 record, and we have the Anaheim Ducks next, which last week we beat them twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was a very aggressive game the last time we played, and I'm expecting the same thing.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah. We have Vince Dunn back, which is our difference maker.
Yeah, that's true.
But he left. He left the game.
I think he'll be back.
You think he'll be back?
I hope so.
I don't know. But I'm also anxious and excited to see what the future holds for Hackstall and the coaching staff. I don't know. I'm excited.
Yeah, I know.
And anxious.
You and I personally have discussed the different options for Hackstall, and like earlier in the season, especially when we were having such a long lose streak, of what Hackstall's future was. But he held his position, so we'll see what that means. I mean, last season, obviously, he did quite well, but
I have a full story on him, so we don't need to get in.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Get into it too much. But yeah, so we're officially mathematically out of the playoffs, and we'll leave the regular season on the 18th, and then the league will go on without us in two postseason in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. But don't worry, guys, we'll still have episodes for our listeners.
Yeah, there will be a bunch of episodes about not only the Kraken, but everybody, or just the community and people that live in it. In the community that they play in.
And if there's ever any listeners that have ideas or things that they want us to hear, please let us know, because we're anxious to get ideas.
But it has to be like Washington based.
Totally.
Yeah. That's the only criteria, pretty much.
Washington?
Washington and Seattle based.
Boom.
Yeah. Maybe we could even talk about a guy who lived in like Africa, who lived in Seattle and did something in Seattle, but sure, moved to Africa to pursue something different. I don't know. But anything else you got?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, definitely sad that we didn't move on, but I think this season kind of humbled us out as a team.
Yeah. Man, we're excited for next season.
Mm-hmm.
Season's not over yet, so I mean, no. But a few more games to have fun at.
We have an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
From here until start of next season.
Yeah, I wonder what Ron Francis has cooking up.
We'll see.
Exactly. Well, until next time, guys, don't give up the ship.